You're listening to Feeding the Mouth That Bites You with Ashley Parrish and Jessica Pfeiffer,
a weekly podcast guide on parenting teens and launching them into the world. As always, we are joined by psychologist and author, Dr. Ken Wilgus.
Hey, everyone, and welcome back. Today's episode is going to be a bit different. You won't be hearing from Jessica and I like usual, but instead, Dr. Ken will be interviewing his wife, Sally.
I think you're going to love getting to hear from Sally, and you'll appreciate her honesty and candid conversation with Dr. Ken. Listen in.
Okay, so first of all, what is your name?
My name is Sally Wilgus.
Sally, you know that this podcast is not a guest kind of podcast. It's me and Ashley and Jessica. But as you may know, there's certain exceptions to that, and that might be you. Who are you exactly related to this podcast?
Well, as my last name, Wilgus, would suggest, I am your wife and the mother of your three children.
So as you may know, it is a pet peeve of mine for sort of expert folk to come on and sound like everything in our family went perfectly well. On the other hand, I think if we had majorly failed, I wouldn't have any reason to be doing any kind of giving anyone advice. So with that in mind, Sally Wilgus, wife of 38 years, whom I love, I have one question to start with. Did you ever bribe one of our children to clean their room and tell them not to tell Dad because they were teenagers and they were supposed to not have to do that?
Well, you know about it because I've admitted it to you. But yes, we were kind of a test lab for these true principles that you have asserted in your book and in your practice. And so I wasn't always convinced of the how important maybe they were. And so sometimes I kind of bent the rules a little bit when you weren't around.
So you are saying in front of all of our listeners that you did, in fact, who was it? Was our youngest? Who did you pay to clean the room?
I guess it was Franny. He was our youngest. I'm sure I probably tried to talk the other kids into stuff too, you know.
See, sorry. This is the point where I would like to tell everyone that planned emancipation went smoothly in our house and everything was great, but that wouldn't be true. And now you're talking about our youngest who you bribed, to me, which says two things. A, you weren't fully convinced of this, and B, you weren't even sure you could talk to your husband about it enough to get my attention. Is that overstating it?
Well, maybe a little bit. I mean, I knew that you would push back and you wouldn't be very happy if you knew I tried to kind of tweak the rules a little bit. But I also, it's just really hard to allow the kids to live in squalor, which they did. You know, we had two of them. Not
squalor.
All three. Well, not all three, as you know, but two of them were just unbelievably messy. And I had a little bit of opposition from extended family
That's
members.
That's right. Your family wasn't all about this sometimes.
My family were kind of not always convinced that the freedom that you gave our kids was a good idea because
your sweet
they had
mom worried about it.
Right, because she didn't grow up with that kind of freedom, and
right,
she
right.
And so she felt like it was allowing them some bad habits to just set in and not instructing them in the way that they should go. And so,
right.
I mean, she certainly wasn't. She didn't oppress me
no,
in any way,
no.
But
you could
but
tell.
She certainly sowed doubt in my mind, and
sure.
I dealt with my own messiness. I wasn't a very tidy, organized kid, and so I just felt guilty about that. And so I think that guilt I had in myself made me not want to allow my kids to just not discipline themselves into, you know, organization and
time. So do you agree with me on this, though, that the two kids that we're talking about that won't be named because that would embarrass Alex and Francis are kids with ADD features? And I always felt like they were an example of where, although we made great efforts, I don't think we did all we could have done while they were children to really teach them to keep things clean and ordered, so that it was harder than to enter into adolescence where we give them more freedom, because it felt like we didn't really do all we could or should have done when they were young.
When they were
younger.
Do you
agree with that?
I do agree with that. I often hear you tell people you can't give what you don't have, and I didn't have a lot of skills in the area of organization, nor do I now. You know, it's just not how I was created, but I always felt guilty and about that, because I knew that's what any self-respecting person is going to, you know, make up their bed and clean up, put stuff away.
Right.
But there again, like I said, I felt like our home, I mean, now I feel like our home was somewhat of a test lab, although I know you'd been speaking to families about this for a long time, even when our kids were, you know, in their adolescent years.
Well, and it's important, you know, I've had, you know, some parents really push back. I think, as I've always said, nurturing moms feel like giving freedom to teenagers feels like I don't love my child. So
right.
I've had more than one mom particularly push back with, well, did you do this with your kids? And I was curious what your memory was. I mean, like on our children's 13th birthday, what do you remember was our sort of announced thing?
You know, I think we made it relatively clear to our children these were our values and these were the ways that we felt like were the best ways for them to become adults. I do very clearly remember you're telling our kids on their 13th birthday that they were going to be allowed to watch any PG-13 movie that they felt was appropriate for them. They were, in other words, it wasn't freedom to just do anything that they felt like, you know, it was more you need to make that decision now, because, you know, if you go to a theater and you're 13 without a parent, nobody's gonna stop you from it, so it's your decision to make. And other things that we, you know, allowed them to do, it wasn't just, oh, now you're old enough to just do what you feel. It's more you bear the responsibility to make these
decisions. Of course,
this
was, at least with our oldest for sure, but for all of our kids, they're older, so this was before the completely free access of, you know, things online.
Certainly,
and stuff. But
right.
I remember, it seems like every time one of our kids turned 13, there was this particular PG-13 movie that I couldn't believe was rated PG-13.
Why?
So, well, because like I think when our oldest was 13, there was an Austin Powers movie that I knew to be so crass, and I was, but I don't think it was that one. But I think he asked us, would we go see? I think it was a Mission Impossible movie,
maybe, so,
and give
yeah.
him whether we thought it would be good for him. Am I remembering that right?
Yes, you are. I do recall. I don't know if Alex, you know, if I was there, but I do remember your telling me that Alex came to you at least and said, Dad, would you mind going to see this movie before I do? Because it's PG-13 and I know you're going to allow me to see it, but I want to know. Maybe he didn't say it in those lofty
terms. I think it was basically like that.
But he wanted you to see it first to kind of clear it for him, because I think he understood that it was a freedom for him, but he also knew that he couldn't totally trust himself to make the decisions that he wanted to make to keep himself on the right path.
And I remember being surprised a little bit by that. And I always tell parents, that doesn't mean it always goes like that.
No.
I'm not even sure he wasn't doing that just to kiss up. He would have gone anyway. Mm. But I thought it was an important moment. We also gave them freedom to keep their own room however they wanted, right?
Certainly, right.
Yeah, and that's, of course,
right. That was, for me, of course, being a homemaker, that was the hardest part.
Yeah.
But I think what was really helpful and very gratifying and encouraging in the planned emancipation was that when I remember seeing moments in their lives when they suddenly were awarded with a responsibility or a freedom because of their age, that they really rose to the occasion. And suddenly I could see a maturity in them blossom literally overnight, or, you know, within a moment, such as when they got their driver's license. It was like, especially I remember specifically our last one, who really wasn't interested in driving.
Right.
She was scared of it. She didn't really want it. I really pushed her to complete her driver's ed,
which I thought was important
to get her driver's license. And it was, you know, it was scary for me, and I know it is for all parents, but I knew in my head, I'm not going to allow her to just give in to this fear, because if
right.
I did, then later on when she had to drive, she wouldn't be prepared. And so I just kind of bit the bullet and said, no, you're going to have to drive. You're going to have to drive here and there, you know. But the day she got her license, oh my goodness, it's like her whole demeanor was suddenly a few levels up. She felt empowered, and it was a very positive thing. It wasn't like, oh, good, now I can go run around and do whatever I want. She was just, I think she was asking what she could do to help me and stuff like that. It was really unrelated to driving.
Right.
It was just, you know, and so it was really gratifying to see the fruit of something that we had worked on for many years, and that to us and to many parents can be kind of scary. But it was like, suddenly, it's like, this is working.
So this is the same daughter that you bribed.
Yes.
So do you think that's part of why she's in prison now? Or do you think that was... No, okay, I say that because it's also, you know, I've often said that I don't feel like it's appropriate for someone to tell everyone how to be a parent, because look how great we did.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, we should be honest. Our kids, what do you think? Our kids are...
Man,
okay.
I mean, you know, anytime we think of our kids, we are just so thankful.
It's almost embarrassing.
I mean, it is. And so, you know, I know that we can't take full credit for our kids being so good. And yet, I feel like God has given you a message that works and that is really helpful, especially in this day and age, in the 20th, 21st centuries. You know, I just feel like it's a message that is really effective.
Well, that, of course, gets me all excited. Because if you like me, I don't care what everyone else thinks. But our son, for example, he lives in Chicago. He's a pastor, and his wife and two children. And then our middle daughter, who was, you know, you always have that one kid that you take full credit for. She was very tidy and very good and strong, hard worker and all that kind of stuff. But she was just that way. She and her husband is also, he's a pastor, and they have their three children. And then we have our youngest, who is married, and she lives currently in New York City. We're recording this during the coronavirus thing, so it's a little scary. But they all are... seeking the Lord. They all are active in faith. And most importantly for what we're talking about, they talk to us.
Our kids are going to listen to this and they're going to say, oh gosh, you know, they're acting like they're so perfect. So we all know, you and I know, and our kids know how imperfect we are and how imperfectly we, or especially I, implemented the, you know, planned emancipation. But I think they also know that we were of the same mind, even when I kind of, you know, backed off sometimes. I'm sure we forget a lot of the struggles.
Yeah.
You know, largely because our kids right now are such a great joy that, you know, they're all married and we love all of their spouses and we're just like thanking the Lord for, you know, what wonderful people they've become. And
but there were times, like, you know, I remember when we gave each kid after high school, you know, I made the clear statement, you don't answer us when you come home.
Yeah.
It's up to you. And I remember our middle sweet girl, I make it sound like the other two are terrible, but
no.
I remember one particular time when she was quite later than, yeah, I mean, she didn't have a curfew, but it was later than she said she would be. And I think we were pretty upset. And I remember trying to kind of balance with, you know, you're not in trouble. You're out of high school. I think she was before she'd gone off to college.
Yeah.
But I was pretty freaked out, and she was very sensitive to what we thought.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember the difficulty of trying to, you know, kind of walk that line between you're not in trouble, but it just surprised me that you handled it like this.
Well, I think...
You remember that?
Yeah, I do remember it. And what I would say about that particular time is that I think it's important to speak to your kids what your goals are, what your values are, and how you are going to give over to them their freedoms and everything.
Yeah.
But sometimes I think those words are kind of superficial, and your attitude or demeanor or behavior kind of comes across in a different way. And I think that
in these actual real life instances,
I think what happened in that instance was our fear kind of, I mean, we weren't taking back any of the things we'd said.
Right.
It's not like you were saying, well, if you're going to do that, or if you're going to come home late, then you can't have this freedom.
Right.
It was more just, I'm afraid because I don't know where you are, and I don't have any way to know where you are if you don't answer your phone. And so I think our fear kind of stepped in and made us a little more freaked out than what you might advise parents to be. And so I think that definitely made an impression on her, because I think it was when we allowed our fears to come out and to kind of influence how we talked to them.
Exactly. It was a perfect example.
I think
example.
That made the kids sort of feel like we didn't really trust them.
Well, that's exactly what I was going to say. It's a perfect example of when our fear came across to our, in this case, adult kid, like, we don't trust your judgment, which is not our intent.
Right.
But, so I would like to, if I hadn't thought about this in advance, but I would like to officially thank you for backing me on some of the stuff that was scary.
Dubiously. It was a dubious backing at times.
I think we all know that.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have anything, before we finish, do you have anything to suggest for wives, moms that are struggling, and, you know, anything that was particularly difficult for you that you remember, and any advice kind of that from this side of it, what is it that you've sort of, wisdom that you think you would tell a younger you that you didn't know then but you know now?
Mm. Well, for one thing, I mean, I really did have a lot of respect for what you did and your profession and what you taught. And I knew in my head, this has got to be good because it made sense. And so that was helpful. But I also know that if there's conflict between the two spouses and they just don't agree, it makes it really hard. You have to be able to tell your concerns to your spouse. And I'm sure I did that with you, you know, at times.
Well, it was so important that you and I are on the same page. It's part of the reason that I think, I don't know how long ago it was. It's possible because I wasn't paying attention. But it feels like it wasn't that many years ago that I first heard this family rumor that, well, you know, Mom bribed one of the kids at least. And I only bring that up because happily that was, I think, an exception. And I'm super grateful that you and I, because if we hadn't stayed on the same page, it absolutely would have fallen flat.
Certainly. I mean, I think the kids knew that I supported and agreed with your principles.
No matter how nutty it was.
And so, yeah, I was nutty. I don't think, you know, that, you know, an incident here and there is going to just break down the system completely. I think that we were very... We totally believed in what we were doing and saying. And they also saw that you and I had a relationship where we could disagree about things, but we were going to work things out together. And I think the unity that they perceived, even though it was often rough and, you know, rocky, I think that...
Yeah, we're pretty volatile with each other at times.
Yeah, and we show our emotion and our you know, whatever, anger or whatever, fear. We show that and we talk about stuff, and not everybody's that way, but we didn't stuff it. And so...
Might have been better if we stuffed it a couple of times.
There were some things we should have stuffed. But I think that, I guess the point I'm getting at is that when your children see you living out what you believe, in front of them. Even though you're flawed and you mess up and you're inconsistent, I think that is what's going to stick, because when they get to be adults, they're going to, you know, see, they're going to have to decide, what do I believe? And they're going to see the things that are true and the things that are valuable, you know, and effective. They're going to see that and they're going to say, yeah, you know, I agree with that.
Okay, that's really well said. And really, that's because that's really what I wanted to make sure everyone knew, that this isn't math. You can goof some stuff up, drop some balls, argue kind of in front of your kids, you know, the things that we did.
Yeah.
And, you know, parenting doesn't, quote, cause your kids to be good or bad, but it does, you know, like, well, you said it best, that you can see, your kids can see the way through to know that it's not all perfect, but we respect them, and they reach the point of adulthood with us. And it's really paid off.
Yeah.
Well, I'm grateful to you. And I appreciate your support, and I think it's important. So thank you for coming on.
Well, thanks for having me.
Our first guest in a program that doesn't do guests. But thanks so much.
Thanks for joining us today. Hit the subscribe button so you won't miss an episode. Also, leave us a review. This is how other listeners find our podcast. Follow us on Instagram at Feeding the Mouth.
We appreciate you and would love to hear from you. If you have any questions, thoughts, or ideas about what we've discussed today, please email us at podcast@feedingthemouth.com.